of course, Friday and yesterday. It was just one of them days. Well, Cindy come in yesterday evening. Of course, she's been working a lot. She's into that crazy peak season stuff that they do every Christmas. And she sends me a postcard and lets me know she'll see me after Christmas. And I go, okay, love you too, baby. But she came in yesterday evening, and man, she could just tell. She said, "You've been studying a lot today, ain't you?" And I said, "Yeah." But it was kind of been a weird week. I've had so much study time, but yet it seemed like that the Lord just really took time to lead me through where we're at this morning, if that makes any sense. It wasn't a clear path like on Wednesday or Thursday, but no, it was actually the combination of everything. And it's so awesome the way that God, he does order the steps, and how he orchestrates. And in this message this morning, I feel like that's what this is. It's been God orchestrating, and for people this morning, and in particular a group of people that I want to talk to that may struggle with hope. Are you here this morning? And you struggle with hope. Struggle with hope. Not you, Lisa, not your daughter. but struggle with hope in the heart, hope of the spirit, hope in God. And I feel like the Lord's got a word for you this morning, and I want to share it with you. Romans 15, we'll start with verse 4. The Lord really just gave me one verse, but I kind of took some liberties to build some context for it, and I'll share with you the one verse that the Lord gave me. And you'll see why I took a little liberty to build the context, because I feel like the Lord would have me do that. Because you can take one verse and say anything. Amen. Amen. People do it all the time. People live lifestyles and find one verse to justify. Amen. That's what's wrong, really, in America today. People want to live a certain lifestyle, and they find that one verse or whatever to justify. Amen. How many know that's not using God's word correctly? That's a setup for deception. That's a setup for failure. That's a setup for possibly damnation. Come on. Amen. Amen. Just a little extra from Pastor Lee at Christmas. Amen. Romans 15, start with verse 4. Listen to what it says here. Love this scripture. This is not really the scripture the Lord gave me, but I love this scripture. Whatsoever things were written aforetime, and this is for the context, whatsoever things were written aforetime, or things of old, things that's in this book, from Genesis to Revelation, things that were written of old, were written for our learning. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That we, through patience and comfort of this that's been written, the scriptures, was written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, this is what it says, might have hope.
Amen.
Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now, I say that Jesus Christ was the minister of circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles, somebody say, that's us, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again, he saith, rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, or applaud him. That's really what it means. Give him applause. Give him praise. Give him honor. All ye people. And again, Esaias, again, saith, there shall be a root of Jesse that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him. Anybody know who him is? In him shall the Gentiles trust. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Now, and this is the scripture that the Lord put on my heart. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that ye may abound in hope. Somebody say abound in hope. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Yes. Yes. Come on, let's give God glory this morning. Come on. Oh, you Gentiles, laud him. Oh, you Gentiles, praise him. Oh, you Gentiles, rejoice in him. Give him glory, honor, and praise. Lord, we thank you. Thank you that we have trust in him. Yes, glory to you. Now, Father, you add the blessing to your word. Add the blessing, just as you put it upon my heart. And may it speak to those that struggle with hope, dear God. May it break off from them this day and dispel that struggling spirit and that depressive spirit and that spirit of oppression. May it break off this morning in victory. In victory. And may everyone leave this place this morning lauding you, giving you praise. And it's all for your glory, all for your namesake. In the name of Christ, our Savior, our coming King, Jesus' name. All church agree and say it one more time. Come on. Load him. I love that word. Load him. Load, yes. Amen. Amen. That's what my grandma would have said years ago. She said, she didn't mean it the way we're using it today, but she would have said, Load, yes. Applaud, yes. Yeah, my grandma, she was a sweetie. Amen. Well, Load, yes. She liked to tell a little juicy stuff every now and then. You know, she needed help with that. Bless her heart. She liked to tell us sometimes little neighborhood gossip and stuff and whatnot. But I remember this one time. She would say this when somebody would really be telling something good, really something juicy. She'd say, shut your mouth. But she didn't really mean shut your mouth. She meant pour it on. Really tell me, tell it good. Funny how you remember things, ain't it? Amen. Boy, I love that woman. That woman was good to me. I thank the good Lord for her. Amen. Amen. So, just kind of give you a little background. It seems like every time in this season that we're in, this is Christmas season, you know, we're upcoming fast. But not so much sometimes in this church, but sometimes even in this church, I start hearing, even prayer requests. Or sometimes I get them personally. I get people will text me, or I'll see people out. Just seen somebody Saturday who was making mention of this because of some things that was going on in this season of their life in Christmas season. But there's almost like it's almost like a Christmas depression. That's the only way. I just want to explain it that way. It's like a Christmas depression. It's like a heaviness on some people this time of year. And I understand it. And we get a lot of requests even. You know, there's a heaviness, or sometimes it's for a loss, and I understand that. You know what? When you've lost some of those people that are so special to you, Christmas just kind of really enhances that, don't it? Because that's when you're really, really was used to enjoying and celebrating with those that were so close to you. And I understand that. Man, that's heavy. I've been through that. If you're any age at all, you know what I'm talking about. Now, some of the younger folk, maybe not. Maybe you've not lost somebody that you're used to seeing every Christmas, or that made Christmas so special, or made family so special. But some of us, you know, and especially us gray-haired folk, you know, we've lost a lot of people. That alone kind of makes it a heavier season, and what have you. So really, this is how this come about. I've been hearing a lot of that. Been getting some texts and been talking to some people, and even I've heard a few prayer requests in here. You know, Lord, help this family or that family through this season that we're in, because it's Christmas. Help us through this heavy season. Help us to navigate it. Help us to work through it or whatever. And so I was kind of just looking at reading and studying, and like I said, this was just kind of something that was on my heart, trying to help. Actually, especially one person that I had come in contact with. I was really trying to help this one person, and I was studying on some things. And actually, I don't usually do this, but I got off on some articles. Every now and then, I'll get on the computer and look up some trusted bloggers or whatever that I like to study or read off of. And I was kind of looking at that, the Christmas depression or depression and what all, and the heaviness or and loss. And I was studying some things. And actually, in the midst of that, of course, you're not, I don't know if any of y'all that study, you know what happens. You end up on these trails that are just never ending, and you keep running into things, and things keep popping up. And I actually ended up studying really more on depression. That's kind of where it evolved to. I ended up, and I run into this one particular article that just stopped me. It stopped me. And I honestly believe it was so divine. It was a God thing. It was Him ordering my steps, because it so touched my heart. It saddened. It stirred me. It saddened me. It brought a burden to me, to my heart, and really in just a deep way. And what it was about, it was bringing out the last year or so, they had done this study. And I don't do a lot of stuff. I don't put a lot of credence into or authority or validity into statistics, because you know you can statistics can be bogus or whatever. But I do believe a lot of things that was in this article. But it said that among, and this is the thing that got me, this was among our young people. And it considered young people, young adults, you know, 25, 28 and under. And I do that too, 30 even. Any more, 35, that seems pretty young to me. I'm just saying. I mean, look out. I got some grins out of some 30s. Come on. Come on. Can I hear 40, preacher? Yeah, even maybe 40. I don't know, you know. Maybe even 40 is young. They say 40 is the new 30, so yeah, 40's young, you know. But anyway, I've got more grins. I am becoming somebody's favorite preacher this morning. Woo! Amen. But it was really about the youth of our day and the sharp, dramatic rise in depression that the young people of our day are suffering. And I never really thought on it, because I've never really, I've dealt with that in my own life, but it was back when I was a drinker. And, of course, that added to it. Dummy. I mean, you're already battle with it, and you pour in ounces and ounces of depressant. Dum, da, dum, dum. That's just me. I'm talking to me. If that's you, I'm not calling you dumb, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I am. But anyway, I'm losing friends. Anyway, it was about this sharp rise, and especially among the young adults, and it was this thing was bring out that 20, and this was like this little statistic was like ladies or young ladies, young women, 25, you know, back to their 18, 16, 18 years old, that it had rose like 30% among that group especially. And that the men or young men had been well behind that, but they were gaining so much ground. They were catching them. And I kept reading this article and studying this article and going through the various statistics and the things that it brung up, and it got to even the teens, and it talked about how that's why there's such a sharp now rise in suicide amongst teens. Have you ever thought about this? Man, it's sad. And I think that's no doubt why this is on my heart today. But it's so sad that when our young people, our young teens think that death is more hopeful than life. That troubled me. It really got to my heart. That death has got a... It looks more alluring, looks more enticing, that looks like a way of relief than life. But that's not even the final straw. The final straw was this, because I could not believe this thought. And it was, we brung out a stat about preschool kids. I didn't even know preschool kids even had any inkling of a depression. But how that now that was even on the rise among our preschool Now, they brought out some things that I don't necessarily agree with on why and what. But one thing that they did bring out, that most of them's being raised by depressed parents. And I could probably agree with that thought. And so there's kind of this drain down, and the parents do probably attribute to some of that. So having said all of that, I come away from all that study, them day or two, I come away from that study realizing even yet more the need for hope. And the call to minister hope. And I feel like that's what the Holy Ghost just give me this one verse back on, I don't even know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, I don't even know. But I had this one verse that's been in my heart. Well, actually, before that, this one verse has been in my heart over a week. Actually, it was last week that the Holy Ghost put this verse in my heart. I forget that we wasn't at church last Sunday, and I've got 2 weeks worth here. I forget what days was day. But he put this in my heart, and I realized the need. So much the need. And sent me here today really to minister to hope and to preach hope to everybody. To everybody. And really, it's hope that will dispel all of this. It's because we're hopeless that there is the depression. It's because we're hopeless that there is the struggle. It ought not be. Especially as we come into this season, man, this ought to be the season of hope. This ought to be the season of being encouraged. Now, I know there'll be other things. There'll be some loss, feeling some grief, some mourning, but overall, there should be this joy of hope. Amen. The happiness of hope. And I just want to tell you something this morning. If you're here, I want you to hear this. Man, there's victory in hope. Amen. There's so much victory in hope this morning. Woo! Y'all didn't hear that. There's victory in hope. Yes, sir. There is. Amen. So, real quickly, I got to lay a quick foundation because hope's got a foundation. You realize that. Hope's got a foundation. There's a source for the foundation. And if out the foundation, how many know that's why a lot of hope don't last? A lot of hope fades and falls in the midst of circumstance or situations or dark times. Hope itself fails. But built on the right foundation. Built on the right foundation, man, hope can stand. You can leave this place with hope, get up tomorrow with hope, go into the Christmas season with hope, go into the new year with hope, go through the summer season with hope. Wait on Jesus, the blessed hope, with a glorious joy. Hey! Amen. Amen. Oh, bless his name. So go back to verse 4 if you don't mind, real quick, Heaven. Real quick. Because this is kind of the foundation. This is kind of where it all begins. Romans 15, verse 4. Listen, let's read this verse one more time. For whatsoever things were written aforetime of old, they were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. So really plain, really simple. I know this is real plenty. You already see it. I don't have to describe it, so I won't spend much time. But whatsoever things were written of old, not just anything that's been written, but what's been written of old. And not so much just what is written, but what you learn from what's written. Because this book is full of stuff that's written, but the problem with it, people ain't got a foundation to hold up hope is they've not learned it. Not learned it well enough, not learned what's been written. What the God of all hope has put down on eternity's paper that will never pass away. What's been written, we have to learn. And what we learn is through what we learn, we begin to gain patience in the midst of whatever's going on. Patience. Somebody's got hope, they got patience. From what they've learned. We learn the Scripture. We learn Romans 8:28. We learn that, that, he works all things together for good of them that love him and called according to him. We learn that. And during the rough times, the hard times, the shaky times, we learn to wait on him. We learn to be like Job and to have patience, to crawl up on our ash pile and say, though he slay me, yet will I serve. Yet will I work. Hey, we learn these things. We learn about Joseph in the pit. We learn about God's faithfulness to bring him through on the other side, to take him all the way to the palace. We learn these things. Hey! Woo! I just might have a time. But we learn. And it builds our patience. It builds our patience during tough times. See, that's what you need when you struggle with hope. You just need to hold on. He's an on-time God. Oh, yes, he is. Oh, he's an on-time God. Yes, he is. That's my best Pentecostal version of that. He may not come when you want him, but he'll come through right on time. Hey, we learned this. We learned this. We learn this from the stories, the things that's been written aforetime. We learned it at the tomb of Lazarus. Jesus can be late and still not be late. We learn. Hey! We learn. Good Lord Almighty. This is just the introduction. But we learn. And through what we learn, we also gain comfort. Consoling. It helps keep hope strong. Because of what we've learned. We're comforted. We've got patience in all this. Amen. I love this. Amen. But it goes even yet further then. Because that's just kind of the foundation. Go back to verse 13. That's all I have. I'm patient. So then it goes in now that the God of hope fill you with all joy. And because it goes beyond now. Here, we're still building foundation. It's going a little further now. We're leaving to the learning, and now we're believing. Believing. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. In believing, ain't that what learning is supposed to take us to? Is believing. We begin to believe. We begin to sink our teeth into it. And in believing God, in believing the things that are written aforetime, and believe in that, then the God of all hope, I want you to get that, because it is the God. There is no hope outside of God, ever, ever. If you've learned anything in life and grown old, you realize now that there's no hope anywhere else. You used to trust in other things. You used to have hope. You used to hope in man. You used to hope in systems. You used to hope in health or money. You used to hope in all sort of things. But now you've seen all of that fade away. Now you realize that the only hope is in God himself. Amen. It's just in him. So we begin in believing God now, in believing God, the things that are written. I love this. Joy and peace start to come from that believing. It does. It starts to trickle in. It's crazy. I couldn't explain this years ago. Because I didn't really have the concept. I know them believing somehow peace and joy did come. This could be even viewed as salvation, by the way. Because ain't this what happens? When we finally believe, don't joy and peace come in? But no matter the circumstance, no matter the situation, it's in believing God, the God of all hope, in believing him, God begins to fill us. If you can just believe this morning. You might have come in here not believing. You might have come in here hopeless, thinking it was hopeless. But if you can believe things that are written, if you run your mind across your scripture, the scripture that God's trying to bring you out of that place with, if you can just grab hold of that and believe it, a little bit of joy, a little bit of peace, it's going to start trickling in. It's going to start strengthening. It's going to start coming. I'm going somewhere. Hang with me. Don't leave me now. Hope for it. Tell your neighbor, I hope he's going somewhere. He is. I just don't know if you'll recognize it when we get there. No, I'm just kidding. But in this believing, then as the joy and the hope begin to come in, you got the foundation now. You got the foundation. I love this word, that you may abound in all hope. Abound. Excel. Super abundant beyond. This don't sound like struggling with hope. This is so far from struggling with hope. That's why I love this verse. This is nowhere near struggling. No, this is going so far beyond. It means to excel in quantity of and quality of. It's both. It's hope in its greatest form. In its greatest excess. Oh! I see, I know where I'm going. Mark I got to tell you what Mark told me here a couple weeks ago, because I was preaching on something and I was all fired up, and he said, I just wasn't getting it. And then when you got there, I got it. And what he said then, he said, but you were so excited, I knew you was going somewhere, because you already know where you is going. And you're just going to have to believe in faith this morning and just go on and get excited with me, because I do know where I'm going. Hey! And right now you might not feel like you can abound in hope, but my God in heaven, just wait till you get there. Hey! 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 Amen. Woo. Yes. Yes. So it's through that then that we abound. It's through this foundation, it's on this foundation that we begin to abound. But then this is why we needed the foundation, because it's through the power of the Holy Ghost. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. For hope comes from. Its source. You want to know the two sources? We've seen it in the scriptures. Two sources where hope comes from: the scriptures, the things that were written aforetime, and now the Holy Ghost. The two, both the Spirit and the Word, Spirit and the truth. They're always equal. They're always important. You can't shun one and keep to that. No, you got to have them both. And you find that throughout life. That's what Jesus told the woman at the well. If you're going to worship God, you got to figure Him out in spirit and truth. It's got to be both. Both are so important. And if you want hope this morning, you'll find hope in the truth of God, and you'll find it in the power of the Holy Ghost. And then all them stats started making sense to me. The rise, the dramatic climb, if you will, and depression and oppression, and then young folk. It started making sense to me. So I got in my heart, I've got to learn what's written of old about the power of this Holy Ghost that will bring and cause me to abound, overflow, quantity and quality of hope. Because that's where it comes from. And then I got to thinking, man, ain't that the truth? I don't know what you're going through this morning. I want this minister the rest of this time. That's all I want to do. This is a little bit different, but I'm just going to minister the rest of this time to you. If you come here struggling with hope, I come directly, I feel like from the Lord, to speak to you. Maybe you're here this morning and you feel like life is meaningless, like so many do, like it has no meaning anymore. Maybe you feel like you're, something is just missing. I talk to so many people that they don't really say it exactly like that, but it's like they say that. Like, it's just something's missing. Is this life? Is this what it is? Like there's this void. There's this emptiness. There's this not everything. It's like it's dark. There's this darkness. And you see, man, the things written of old speak to us about these things. God's written word, it speaks very plainly about the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Spirit ministering to people and to situations just like that. When we feel empty, when we feel void, when it feels dark, when it feels like life ain't worth. This particular goes all the way back to even Genesis, this thought does. Genesis 1:1 and 2. I love what it says. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And in verse 2, and the earth, this is what a lot of people say. I know this was in creation, but this is what a lot of people feel. The earth was full, without form, void, and darkness on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God, the very thing that it took in creation to bring light, to bring calm and structure to chaos, the very thing it took to bring light to darkness, the very thing it took to bring a peace to chaos, to bring structure and a system to make life meaningful, to divide the day and the night, to separate. It's the Spirit of the Lord. His power. I don't know if you're here this morning and you just think life's meaningless. I'm just going to tell you something. There's something to look to. It's the Spirit of Christ. It's the Spirit of God. It's the Holy Ghost in power. Written of aforetime, written of old, that you might have hope. Job tried to tell us too. He said in Job 26:13, by his Spirit the heavens are garnished. I mean, everything's by his Spirit this morning. If you're here this morning and you feel like, man, I would love to tell the teenagers that feel like life is not worth it. I'd love to tell them. Man, you need to know him. You need to have an experience. You need to have experience with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Yeah. You know. One that brings hope. This church is full of people that once sat where this scripture is, who said hopeless. My life, that's the way I felt. I felt totally hopeless. And in the Spirit, just like it did in creation, began to brood. Begin to move and to work over my life. And little by little, joy and peace began to trickle in. To the point one day, I was able to say, you know what? I believe. I believe. Then the God of all hope was able to fill me full of the power of the Holy Ghost and hope. Amen. Somebody say, well, That's not me, Brother Lee. That's not me. Well, I know this time of season, and I've talked to many people. You know, death has that effect on people. Death brings a very oppressive, a very hard, a very pushing down, a dark. Some people really struggle to get out from under. Sometimes it's effects of someone that you've been really close to or whatever. Or even maybe you're sitting here today in the prospect of death yourself. I've been there. I remember very plainly. I can remember some things so vividly. That's so weird. I can remember right in the midst of the worst of my sickness. I can remember marching into the bathroom. Well, not marching, but struggling into the bathroom and shutting the door and looking into the mirror. I've actually done it a couple times, but it's one time in particular. I looked up in the mirror, and I seen death. I said, man, I'm dying. I really am. I really am. What I said. I felt it. But there's something strong. There's something stronger than death. And it's the same thing. Things were written aforetime that we might learn to have this hope and that we might have comfort. And patience in times it looks like I'm dying. Romans, I love this. Romans 8 and 10. I love the scripture. It says, in Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And in verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwells. Hope! You can't help it, hope! You can't help it! That's even when we go to the grave site with our loved ones. We stand at a cold grave on a cold day, usually windy, seems like, usually rainy or nasty, and we stand there, and though our hearts do grieve and our hearts do miss, and there's hurt, we stand there not grieving as those who have no hope. We stand there with hope because Him that raised up Christ Jesus is raising up something in us. Woo! And it's hope. I know you know what I'm talking about, Brother Abel.
Sure do.
Hope! And many others do. Woo! Oh my God.
Amen.
1 Peter 3:18, it says kind of the same thing. 1 Peter 3:18, did I give you that? Did I give you that? No? That's all right. Maybe. She's working, that's why I wait. I was going to move on, but since she's working, I'm going to wait. Look at that. For Christ also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring to us God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Right in the midst of death. Quickened. So not even death. We learn hope.
Glory.
Oh! Yes.
Amen.
Learning hope. You that's sitting in here this morning, maybe this is a season that's heavy because of loss, or maybe even the prospect of loss. Well, I just want to tell you something. He got up by the same Spirit that now dwells in you. The very same one. Amen. Amen. I know I got to hurry to get where I'm going, but just think on that. Dwell on that. Put it. Ain't no grave.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. Woo.
Woo. Oh, I wish I could see that. I wish I could pull a peg right now. McCamey's, you know. Ain't no grave. Gonna hold this body down. I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna get up. I'm gonna get up. Hey, maybe today, maybe sitting there feeling like, man, dealing with impossibility. I understand that. We're faced with that all the time. Circumstances, situation, man, you just can't fix. You can't do it. If you could, you'd have done did it. You've thought on it. You've laid it in the bed thinking on it. You've tried to figure, what if I do this? What you've exhausted. You've exhausted yourself, your mind, trying to decide. But it's an impossibility. And I've learned impossibilities will drain us of hope. Won't they? We feel hopeless in the midst of impossibilities. That's the great thing about this season. The story that we're fixing to celebrate is all about impossibilities. We read it in the Sunday school lesson. We ain't got time to read it again, but we read it in Sunday school about Luke 1 and how it is when Gabriel come and talking to Mary. He says, you're gonna bear the child Jesus. How can this be? How can this be? Seeing I don't even know a man. How can this be? He said, the Holy Ghost will come upon you and overshadow you, and you shall conceive. And the story goes on. There's excitement. There's expectation. And finally, the great words that I wanted to get to in Luke, he finally says this. He says, what's impossible with man is not with God. Everything is possible with God.
Amen.
I don't know what's going on, but it's just through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. I'm going to tell you something. This morning, because of the Spirit, there's not an impossibility. I'm not saying everything will work out the way you want it. I'm just saying there's not an impossibility this morning in this house if God wants to move on it. There's not. There's nothing impossible to God. Nothing. Only thing God can't do is lie. Because if he says it, it's going to be so. No impossibilities. You don't sit there and think you're hopeless. Don't sit there and think your feelings and your situation, who you are. Don't sit there and think that you can't be saved. Don't sit there. It's not impossible. I broke out of a seat about where Kevin's sitting with that same stuff running through my mind, knowing the bondages, knowing the yokes that was on my life, knowing the addictions, and I broke out around that corner, and I come getting it down that aisle with all them impossibilities. And the Lord, and the Holy Ghost has made it all possible. Possible. Amen. Amen. Woo! It's the Christmas story. Hope. Hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the greatest message we got in the hour of hopelessness. I don't want to break out doctrine other than it's for your learning. I want to see the Holy Ghost break out and pour out hope.
Amen.
In a great way. Amen. Sitting there this morning, I understand this too. In failures and in sin and in mistakes. There's nothing, once again, nothing drains hope like failures, does it? Your own. I'm not talking about your neighbors. I'm talking about when we know ourselves, when we know we failed, when we know we've sinned, when we know how we thought or what we did or what we said. Man, hope just seems to... Amen. Amen. But here's the great thing. Even the Spirit that came on our life when we believed. The Bible says that same Spirit that seals, keeps us in hope. Remember the baptism of Jesus? I know he didn't sin, but he walked us through everything just so we would know. Remember, as he come upon that river that day and began to wade out, and the Bible says this, that a dove from heaven began to descend and set upon him. And then the heavens opened up, and there was this confirmation. There was this assurance spoke out from the heavens. This is my beloved Son. Hey! This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Bible tells us we're sealed by that same Spirit. Sealed. Now I will say this. The Bible also tells us in Ephesians 4:30 that we ought not grieve the Holy Spirit God, whereby we are sealed until the day of redemption. And I understand that. Sometimes we add it more to ourselves. Come on. But it's the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God, that even in my failures, he lets me know you're mine.
Amen.
What was it we used to preach around here in Romans 8:34? Y'all remember that? Who is he that condemneth me?
Yes.
Huh? Y'all remember that brief verse? Who is he that condemneth me? It's Christ that died. Yea, rather is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for me. Hey! Who is it that condemneth? It's Christ that died, rather is risen, who now sits at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for me. That's assurance, brother. That's sealed. That's sealed. I said that's sealed. That's hope. I got to close. I got to close with this thought. I got to tie all this together. Good luck with that, preacher. Amen. Amen. You know what? God wants us to have a personal. See, we believe in hope. I know we do because the Bible tells us all about it. But you know what? God wants everybody in here to have this personal experience with the hope I'm preaching on this morning. Not just hear about it. Not just hear me get excited about it. He wants you to leave here with a personal experience. See, and that's what's wrong with the young folk or whoever, the depressed of our world today. That's why it's a sharp, sharp, dramatic incline in teen suicide. That's why preschoolers, my God in heaven, preschoolers suffering. And then all this study was those that are now under some kind of medication. Preschoolers. For depression.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
It's impossible for God to do nothing.
Amen. Yes.
Yes.
When
yes.
you pray, he'll do something. Yes. When you pray, it's impossible for him to do nothing.
Everybody in this place to have their own personal experience with it. Not just hear about it here today. He wants the young people. That's what God's put upon my heart. He wants the young people to have hope. All you young adults, I look at most of you and I call well, a lot of you young adults. There's a few of you, maybe I don't. Quit grinning at me, Gail. You're not one of them. You're just old as I am. I look at a lot of y'all, man, y'all are young, man, young, 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 my God, young, young, young folk, young folk. God don't want you under any kind of depression. He don't want you hopeless. He wants you full of hope, full of it. He wants you young couples full of hope, you young couples with young children, full of hope. Full, brimming with hope. Marriages, homes that shout hope. When you go through the, it's a home of hope. Hope. When they say the blessing at night for the supper, they ain't nothing but hope. And it's all connected to this power, this power of the Spirit of God. Connected back, connected to him, connected to the promise. It's been written aforetime that the promises to us, the promise of the Spirit, the promise of hope. Go ahead and put Acts 2 and 39 up there if you can. Acts 2 and 39, let's read it. For the promises unto you and to your children, to your children. Not to just to me, not to us, oh, not to just me and Brother Angle or whoever else, but even to our children, to the next generation. God wants this same hope on the next generation. Yeah. Abby, he wants, as fired up as I am this morning, he wants you to have that same hope.
Yes.
He don't want you looking into this world, seeing the bleakness. No, he wants you to have hope in him. It's connected to this promise to all that even are far off, as many as God shall call. And I got to thinking about that. And I remember, and it's funny, like I said, the Lord had me, I have been on a path this week, but I got to think, I had just read Friday or sometime, I don't even know why, other than God. I was reading about how Joshua, in Joshua 5, remember when they come through the river? I'm trying to close. Dear God, help me. They come through the river, and they picked up all the rocks. Remember, 12 tribes, each picked up a rock, and they piled up rocks. And they said, what meaneth this? Well, when the kids come along, you're going to be able to tell them what a mighty God we serve because of the rocks. Remember? And then they went into Joshua 5, Went into Jehoshaphat and kind of a strange, I've never preached on this, but a kind of a strange event kind of took place. God spoke to Joshua and told Joshua to circumcise a second time the children of Israel. Because the first time was when Moses made the covenant with God and with the children of Israel. When they first come out of Israel, they took sharp knives or sharp stones and they began to circumcise the men. But now after 40 years of in the wilderness, all that generation has died. They're all gone. And now Joshua, under the instruction of God, he's a second time now. Let's circumcise again. And it hit me. It hit me. See, everybody was gone that had bore that mark. Everybody was gone that had that mentality.
My God in heaven. Hey.
And that's such a dangerous thing because we see what happens in Judges when that does really happen. Because in Judges, there arose yet another generation after Joshua's generation, after the generation that was circumcised a second time, there arose another generation who didn't know God, didn't know the power of God, didn't know the things of God, and they lived, the Bible calls this, in Judges, in distress, in darkness, all the rest of their lives, until, of course, God began to send judges and to do, but the story is, here's the story. That's what it is about even the spirit this morning. No, we're not going to circumcise. No, that's Old Testament. Jesus, remember in our text this morning, Jesus, he spoke the circumcision in truth. Today, the mark and the mentality that this next generation needs is the Holy Ghost. That's the mark. Our young folk, they need the mark and the mentality of the Holy Ghost, of the Spirit of God, the one that brings hope. Hoped in everything. We've tried to hope in everything. There's only one hope. And that comes through God and His Spirit. And it's supernatural. It's supernatural. It's supernatural. The hope I'm preaching this morning, it's supernatural. It always has been, it always will be. It's what fueled the people of aforetime. It's what fuels us now. But here's what I know. It's not going to do me any good to leave this earth. You know, my days may be short, maybe shorter than I even know. I know they're short, but they may even be shorter. I surely don't want to leave without trying to push the mark and the mentality of my generation on the next. I'm so thankful that the generation before me seen the urgency for us to be marked.
Yes, sir.
They did. Thank you, Brother Engel. Thank all those that were for us. Thank God. Shut up my head. That they've seen the need and the urgency that I need to be marked with this mentality.
Yes, sir.
It's the place of hope. Paul, get up here. Musicians, whoever, wherever you're at, play it hard. Play it for God. Play what God puts on your heart. I just feel like telling you that right now. Play what God puts on your heart. Because that's what He wants right here this morning. Come on, let's take a minute. Bow your head with me just a second, would you? Let's reverence God as they prepare. Let's reverence God. Maybe you're here this morning and you struggle with hope. You struggle and you have no hope. Well, first of all, I would ask you this morning, do you believe? Has even these things that I've brought to your mind this morning out of the scriptures, out of those things that were written before time, have you come to the place that you realize I got to believe in Christ? I got to believe in Jesus. I've got to believe in us. I got to be sealed with this, with the Spirit. I got to be sealed that I'm saved. If that's you this morning, this altar time is definitely for you. That I need to be saved. And I need to come to Christ. There's no hope outside of that. Everything else will be a farce if you try to get hope any other way. This morning, so first of all, if you're here this morning and you know what you say, I believe now, brother. I believe. And I believe I need a Savior. I believe I'm a sinner, and I believe I need a Savior, and I believe His name is Jesus Christ. If that's you this morning, I want to just urge you, get out of your seat right now before we go any further and come to this altar. Anybody at all, I encourage you, get out of that seat right now. If you want to hope before you leave this place, you'll not leave this place in any other way. There's no hope under the wrath. There's no hope under judgment. There's no hope in being lost. There's no hope. This world is going down. You can't save this world. You can only save the people that's in the world. That's it. This world is going down. Anybody at all in this place that says, you know what? I want a Savior. I want to be saved. Anybody?